That's how I heard. 2,500 years ago in northern India, a young man of the Gotama clan decided to seek his spiritual fortune. And even though his parents didn't wish it and wept with tearful faces, he left his home and headed east to the land of the Kalamas. Dwelling there was a renowned spiritual teacher, Alara Kalama. And he went to Alara Kalama and asked to study with him. And Alara Kalama agreed. And this young man of the Gotama clan, he's usually called Siddhartha Gotama, although Siddhartha probably didn't show up as a name until 500 years after the Buddha's death. So Mr. Gotama studied with Alara Kalama, and he learned the doctrine, but he also decided that there was more than just the doctrine, the lip reciting. And he asked Alara Kalama, what's the practice? And Alara Kalama declared, the base of no-thingness. And Mr. Gotama put himself to the task and learned the practice of the base of no-thingness, which we often refer to today as the seventh jhana. And when he had become skilled in that, he was equally skilled with Alara Kalama. And Alara Kalama offered him joint leadership of the community. But Mr. Gotama wasn't interested in just being reborn in the realm of nothingness, because that's all that he felt it led to. So he left. And he traveled further east and south to the Magadha kingdom. And there he studied with Udaka Ramaputta, Udaka the son of Rama. Apparently Rama was a great teacher who had died, and Udaka was his spiritual heir. And he again learned the doctrine and could recite all the teachings, but he felt there's something more to it and asked what was Rama's practice. And Ramaputta declared the base of neither perception nor non-perception. And Mr. Gotama applied himself and in no long time learned that practice. And when he talked to his teacher, Udaka Ramaputta said, you know Rama's doctrine and practice as well as Rama did. You should lead this community. But Mr. Gotama felt that only led to the rebirth in the realm of neither perception or non-perception, and that's not why he left home. He was seeking a deeper truth. So once again he left. He wandered for a while through the Magadhan countryside until he came to the Nirmanjaya River near the town of Uravelli. And there he found a glen with a shade tree and nice grass, and the village not far away to go for alms round. And he thought, this would be a good place for striving. And so he strove mightily. He undertook ascetic practices. One of the practices was holding his breath for as long as he could. And after practicing this and becoming very skilled in it, what he discovered was that if you hold your breath for extremely long periods of time, it gives you a massive headache. Since it didn't lead to any state of higher distinction, he tried another practice. And this was almost cutting off all food. He lived on one grain of rice and one sesame seed a day. And after practicing this practice for a long time, what he discovered was that if you eat one grain of rice and one sesame seed a day, you become quite emaciated. He was so weak, he had trouble with fallen over. And yet, it had been 6 years since he'd left home, and his practice with his teachers had not yielded the result he sought. And his practice of these severe austerities had not yielded the result he sought. And furthermore, he had practiced these austerities to the extreme. If anyone practiced them even more, surely they would die. And that did not seem particularly useful for seeking what he called the unborn, unaging, unailing deathless. He wondered, could there be another way? And then he remembered a time when his father was occupied and he was sitting under the cool shade of a rose apple tree, and spontaneously, secluded from sense desires, secluded from unwholesome states of mind, he entered and remained in the first jhana, which is with thinking and examining, and contains rapture and happiness born of seclusion. And he wondered, could this be the way to awakening? And upon further reflection, he thought, this is the way to awakening. Why do I need to be afraid of pleasure that is secluded from sense desires and secluded from unwholesome states of mind? But he realized in his emaciated condition he was in no shape to undertake strenuous meditation practice. And so he began eating food, real food, rice and pea soup. And when the five ascetics who were practicing with him saw that he had begun eating real food, they felt he had returned to the life of luxury, had given up the spiritual path, and in disgust, they left. But Mr. Gotama had not given up the spiritual quest. He was just seeking something that actually worked. We don't know how long it took him to regain his strength. There are mythological stories about what happened. One of them says that on the full moon in May, during the daytime, now you've got to remember, full moon in May in India during the daytime is not like it is in Barrie. It wasn't raining, and it was 120 degrees or more. But this woman saw him sitting under this tree and thought he was the tree deva. And she came up to him and said, please wait, I have a present for you. This woman, Sujata, owned a herd of cows. And the story goes, she went home and milked 100 cows and then gave that milk to 10 cows and then milked those 10 cows and then gave that milk to one cow. And when she milked that cow, out came pure cream, which she used to make rice pudding. And she took to the tree deva in a golden bowl. Doesn't say what Mr. Gotama's reaction was, other than after he had finished his meal, he thought, it's a good night for striving. Perhaps he thought something like, it's my birthday. It's the full moon. This woman I never saw before came up to me, gave me the best meal I've eaten in 6 years. It's a good night for striving. Some of the tradition says that if you looked at the golden bowl, you looked at the river nearby, and he decided that he would throw the bowl in the river. And if it went downstream, it was a sign that he was doomed to failure. But if it went upstream, it was a sign he would succeed in his quest. I guess he threw the bowl in an eddy. Because that night, Well, it's not real clear what he did. He probably started with the Johns. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 4 John. Some stories say that he remembered his past lives. They saw beings passing away and realizing according to their karma. Then he formulated the Four Noble Truths and destroyed the asavas, the intoxicants. He uprooted the intoxicant of sense pleasure, the intoxicant of becoming, and the intoxicant of ignorance. In other sutras, it indicated that he formulated dependent origination. Whatever happened that night, he found the unborn, unaging, unailing, undying. And when the sun came up the next morning, he was a changed man. He was awake. He was the Buddha. It says he spent 7 weeks in the vicinity of the Bodhi tree, the tree of awakening. The first week enjoying the bliss of awakening. And then trying to decide whether he should teach what he had come to understand. It was not obvious what he had come to understand. It was not something easily explained. It was not something that could be understood through mere reason. It was something the wise would have to experience for themselves. And then thinking of the people around him, he thought, this generation delights in its lifestyle, takes great delight in its lifestyle, is addicted to its lifestyle. It's not easy for people who are addicted to their lifestyle to see this truth, namely, this, that, conditionality, dependent origination. And it's also difficult to see this truth, the stilling of all concoctions, the relinquishment of all acquisitions, the destruction of craving, dispassion, cessation, nibbana. If I were to try and teach this and no one understood, that would be wearisome and tiring for me. And his mind was not inclined to try and teach the deep, difficult truth he had found. It is said, however, that the Brahma Sahampati knew in his mind what the newly awakened Buddha was thinking, and that he was disinclined to teach. And the Brahma thought, the world will be lost. The Blessed One is not inclined to teach. And then as quickly as the strong man could extend his arm or draw it in, that Brahma God disappeared from the highest of the heavenly realms and appeared on earth before the newly awakened Buddha. Got down on one knee, put his hands together in reverential salutation, and begged him to teach for the benefit of gods and humans. He said, there are some who have little dust in their eyes. They will understand what you have come to understand. And then the Buddha surveyed the world with the eye of a Buddha. And he saw some people with much dust in their eyes, and some people with little dust in their eyes. Some with dull faculties, and some with sharp faculties. Some who were slow to learn, and some who were quick to learn. It was like in a lotus pond where there were red or blue or white lotuses. And there are some lotuses that grow up out of the mud, but do not come above the surface of the water. And there are other lotuses which come to the surface of the water and flourish resting on the surface of the water. And there are a few that grow up out of the water, come above the water, and are not led by the water. And then the newly awakened Buddha thought, perhaps I should at least try and teach what I've learned to those with little dust in their eyes. And that brought God, upon realizing that the Buddha was now inclined to teach, as quickly as a strong man could extend his arm or bring it back, disappeared from the human realm and reappeared in the heights of the heavens. The Buddha thought, to whom should I teach this Dhamma I have discovered? And he thought, Alara Kalama has little dust in his eyes. He will understand what I've come to understand. Unfortunately, Alara Kalama had recently died. Uddhakaramaputta, he has a little dust in his eyes. He will quickly come to understand what I have understood. Unfortunately, Uddhakaramaputta had recently died. Then the Buddha thought about the five other ascetics with whom he had practiced. They had little dust in their eyes. Perhaps he should try and teach them. And then he surveyed the world with the eye of the Buddha, and he could see that the five ascetics were near the great city of Varanasi in the deer park at Isipatana. And he set out walking that way. Along the way, an Ajivaka, a man of another spiritual tradition, encountered him and said, excuse me, you seem different from other people. Your faculties seem very clear. You seem enormously serene. Who is your teacher? And the Buddha said, I don't have a teacher. I'm awake. And the Ajivaka said, may that be so, and went another way. The Buddha's first experience of teaching didn't go over really. But he continued. And he eventually came to the deer park at Isipatana. And his spy friend saw him coming in the distance, and they said, look, it's Sid the Slacker. We won't show him any deference. He can sit with us, but... But when the Buddha drew near, they were unable to keep their pack, and one went to collect his robe and alms bowl, and another prepared water for him to wash his feet, and another prepared a seat. And after the Buddha sat down and washed his feet, he said to those five ascetics, I figured it out, guys. I'm awake. And they laughed and he said, you didn't figure anything out. We saw you. You were eating. You gave up the spiritual path. And he said, no, I really did figure it out. And they said, you couldn't have figured anything out. You resorted to the life of luxury. And he said, no, I did indeed figure it out. Have I ever claimed to have figured it out before? Well, they had to admit he'd never made such a claim. So they decided to listen to what he said. Traditionally, he taught that Amashakarapavadana Sutta, the sutta setting in motion the wheel of Dhamma, and proclaimed the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. Whatever he taught that night, one of those five ascetics, Kandanya by name, got what he was talking about and attained the eye of Dhamma. He awoke to the first stage of awakening. And over the next few weeks, one by one, each of the other ascetics awoke to the first stage of awakening, extreme entry. And when the Buddha knew their minds were well prepared, he taught them the discourse on not self. He taught them something because they all woke up. And then there were six arahants in the world. And the Buddha knew there were some people that had little dust